Good evening, UCC. Welcome to the show, My Life in a Suitcase. And I'm your host, Manisha. So how have you guys been? How was the last week? The weather is changing. Everything seems much better and warm with the sun glowing. And today in the studio, I have a little guest, a very lovely and beautiful, my daughter Marjan with me. Marjan, would you like to say hi, please? Say hi in the mic.
Hi, my name is Marjan and I'm here with my mom today. I'm just seeing what she's saying. Interesting.
So how do you feel being here and I pulled you back from the cartoon? How do you feel?
I don't know how to describe.
So you can say hi to your friends.
So you probably know who I am with my name now. Everyone knows.
Okay, so a warm hi and hello to all Marjan's friends. So yeah, that's my lovely daughter, a bit shy. But yeah, it's really great to have her today with me as a support in the radio. So today's show, we're going to talk about friendship and how that friendship affects our life. Today's show is not going to be like our other shows, which are all mostly. We talk about very difficult topics and we try to show you the reality, the pain behind people's lives. Today we will also touch that small part of it, but we're going to talk about friendship. And today our guest on the show is my friend, Dunella Cobb, all the way from New Zealand. She has sent us her voice in WhatsApp and we've asked her some questions and she has answered them. And before we continue talking about Dunella and our show and everything, let's listen to a very, very lovely song called Hopeless Wanderer from Mumford & Sons. And then after the song, we will return back to our show and we will discuss more about today's show. So have fun, enjoy the song.
You heard my voice. I came out of the woods by choice. Shelter also gave the shade, but in the dark I have no name. So leave that click in my head, and I will remember the words that you said. Left a cloud in mind and a heavy heart, but I was sure we could see a new start. So when your hope's on fire, but you know your desire, don't hold a glass over the flame, don't let your heart.
Welcome back. You're listening to My Life in a Suitcase, and I'm your host, Manisha. So today we are going to talk about friendships. Friendships are priceless. Friendships, to have a friend, somebody to stand beside you, to support you when everybody else is not, to trust you when everybody else is not trusting you, to be somebody when you are in the shadows or when you are in a dark time, to take your hand and hold your hand and bring you back to light. That person is a friend. Today, our guest is one of my very best friends, and to be honest, my oldest friend. Her name is Donella Cobb, and Donella lives in New Zealand. It might be interesting for you to know that me and Donella, we became friends when I was just a young girl, 8 years old, in Pakistan, a refugee. And I entered into a program from Red Crescent to write letters to other little girls in other parts of the world. And my letter reached from Pakistan to New Zealand, to Donella, which herself was a little girl at that time and was studying in school. And Donella replied back to my letter, and believe it or not, I'm 38 years old now, and after 30 years, me and Donella, we are still friends, and I think it's 30 years, or maybe more than that, I don't know, I'm really, really bad at math, so you guys do the math, but the thing is, the point of the story is that we are still friends, and it's amazing. We've been writing to each other, we wrote letters, and for a short period of time, both of us went through difficult times, so we lost touch. And then when the era for email and Facebook came, we found each other again, and we contacted each other through Facebook. And then me, an Afghan girl, and she, from New Zealand, we both met in China for the first time after many, many years of friendship and writing emails and letters to each other. And that was amazing. That was such a lovely feeling. So when I went back from China to Afghanistan and Taliban took over the country, Donella wrote to me, and she was worried about me, that what will happen to me. And she, being the amazing friend, the most amazing person, she really, really moved mountains and helped me and my family to come to Ireland from Afghanistan, and during which she made many more new friends and I made many more new friends. So friendship is a very beautiful thing. As a friend, we can help another friend in different ways. And to me, Daniela is that friend who saved my life and who saved my family's life. And I will always remember that. So guys, since Daniela lives in New Zealand, I asked her a bunch of questions. Her work is very interesting. She herself is a very interesting person. She has done a lot in her life. She's been very active. She's a very, very amazing woman. She has a lovely dog called Chai that we all really love and adore. And especially my daughter, she loves that dog. So I asked her a few questions. So I will play the answers from my phone. And hopefully, the quality will be good so that you can actually hear her. This is the first time I'm doing this, so I'm not sure how the quality would turn out. But let's hope that it'll be all right. So I asked Daniela to introduce herself to us, to all you lovely listeners, so you can know more about her. And this is what she answered.
Thank you so much, Manasia, for having me on your show today. My name is Daniela Cobb, and I am from Wellington in New Zealand, a long way away from Ireland, so I really appreciate the opportunity to be speaking with you today. My journey originally started as a primary school teacher, where I taught here in New Zealand, then spent some time in the UK, Australia, and then also some time where I volunteered in Rwanda. From there, I then spent some more time studying. I was very interested after my time in Rwanda in development studies, and so I went back to university and completed a PhD in comparative and international education, where I was particularly interested in international aid and development. And during my time, I then spent time working as a university lecturer, the Centre of Global Studies and Education at the University of Waikato in New Zealand. And during that time, was involved in a range of consultancy and technical advisor projects in and around the Pacific region, the islands close to where we are here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and a range of projects working with UNICEF and our Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade and UNESCO on a whole range of different programs, mostly in education and early childhood education, primary education, teacher development, all the likes of those in and around the Pacific area. Now I work as a principal development advisor for a international development organisation here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, called Volunteer Service Abroad, and it's where we send and coordinate volunteers to go throughout the Pacific region to provide training, mentoring, professional learning to partner organisations and a whole range of fields from health to education to agriculture to women's rights and climate change initiatives. So that's just a little bit about my background and a little bit about my interest in this space as well.
So Daniela has been working in, as you heard, that she's worked in Rwanda and now she's working with Pacific Islands. She has a very she has a very amazing CV, and she herself was a very kind person, somebody who is always in search, who is always motivating herself to help other people. So I asked her that to tell us more about her experiences in working in different countries and what did she saw in those countries, especially how her field of work works, and what are, especially as you know that in our show mostly we talk about refugees and issues related to women. So I asked Daniela to tell us more about women's situation in Pacific Oceans. You see, Pacific Islands is not a is not a part that we all are very, very familiar to, like in a very deep way. We all know that it's very beautiful. It has it has beautiful islands. It has it's a lovely place. Maybe sometimes to go on vacation, and we think about resorts, and and we think about how lovely these people have that their lives and everything, living near the sea and all these things. But when I asked Danella about what her experience is working in these areas and what are the challenges that everyday people face in there, especially women, and how those challenges are overcome. So let's continue listening to her.
So I mentioned that I spent a little bit of time in Rwanda. Also, over my life so far, I've spent a fair bit of time in the Pacific Islands. Pacific region here is, if you're not familiar with it, full of small island states, really low-lying islands, which are geographically dispersed and culturally and linguistically incredibly rich. In particular, I spent a lot of time in eastern Indonesia, the western side of Timor Island, and also a fair bit of time in Samoa. For those who may not be familiar, here in the Pacific region, really feels the effects of climate change, and so the islands have over the last number of years, experienced increased extreme weather events, cyclones, tsunamis, even volcanic eruptions, which significantly impact lives and livelihoods, and particularly for women as well. And I'll talk about that a little later on. As well as that, the droughts increased likelihood of droughts and food security is also an issue here in the Pacific region because of the remoteness of the islands, and that again has a significant knock-on effect for women and children in this region. So, yeah, for those in Ireland who may not be familiar with the Pacific region, the islands are scattered all throughout the South Pacific Sea, and they are beautiful, incredibly beautiful, and lovely, lovely places, but also incredibly remote, and that brings a whole range of challenges as well. So the reason I talk about climate change and the impacts in this Pacific region is because it really does impact women on so many different levels. Every time there is an extreme weather event, and more recently in Vanuatu, one of the islands in the Pacific region, Vanuatu was struck by two huge cyclones within a matter of days. And so the impact of the cyclone for women in particular is extreme. So not only is there loss of potentially loss of homes and but also crops and livelihoods. And I mentioned before, because of the remoteness of the Pacific region, getting food, communities are really dependent on locally grown food and crops. And this does depend on country to country. Where I spent time in the western part of Timor Island, the agriculture there is incredibly dry and very, very difficult to grow crops. So anytime there is an extreme weather event, the loss of these crops is really severe and significant, and not just from a food nutritional perspective, but also because women in particular often rely on selling produce at local markets, and that's very common in the markets here and around the Pacific for women to have stalls, markets, and sell crops which they have grown. And as soon as a cyclone or tsunami or something comes and wipes out that income source, it has a massive impact on women. You may not be aware, but in the Pacific region, it has one of the highest prevalences of violence against women. And anytime there is a disaster like what we've seen in recent years, then women again, bear the brunt of that even more. So with a lack of income or ability to generate income through the selling of crops and produce, again, that elevates threat and risk of domestic violence, and also means that children can't go to school, or at least families can't afford to send children to school because of the loss of income. Things like repairing homes, roofs, etc., becomes incredibly difficult, and so there is a sustained period for women where they experience extreme hardship. And another thing which is quite interesting about the Pacific region that contributes to this is that we have what's called an RSE scheme in the region where men, it's usually always men, can travel to New Zealand, and they have a similar program in Australia for a period of time to generate income through picking fruit or the like. And that means that men are often absent from their homes, from their villages, for a sustained period of time. And the idea is that they'd bring home money to their families and communities through their time away overseas and picking fruit and working. However, that's not often the case. Often they come away and the money is spent on a whole range of different things when they come to New Zealand or Australia for themselves, potentially, and not all of that money actually goes home. And so that leaves us with a situation where women are left back in the islands to care for young ones and their families purely on their own. And so the crops and selling of produce at local markets is the only income source. Whereas before, their husband would have been there and working and at least contributing in some way. Now their husband is overseas and they're not seeing the fruits of that money return home, and so they are left in extreme economic hardship. And so again, when an event like a tsunami cyclone comes and impacts their ability to sell, that has a catastrophic impact on their livelihoods. Also being on their own exposes them to additional health and safety risks, and so yeah, it's a really interesting but also incredibly devastating cyclical effect for women here in the Pacific. And you know, again, I'm kind of generalizing. I'm acutely aware here that every country and island in the Pacific is so unique and different, and so there are some commonalities across each of the islands, but again, there's specificities within each context. So I'm acutely aware that I'm making huge generalisations here and across all of the islands, but you know, all of them do have their own challenges in relation to both climate change and also with the impacts of that for women.
So as we heard, Dunella, when life becomes difficult, violence against women also becomes more. You see, in areas where, such as like, for example, Pacific Islands, where cyclones and other natural disasters bring peoples to their knees and bring more difficulty, famine, fear of losing their lives, the feeling that they have lost their families, their homes. They have to restart all over again every time if they lose their home. And it is not an easy way. It's not an easy way to life and to live a life. And all these problems brings frustration and brings displeasure and brings down the mental health. And when one is living in a condition like this, it's very difficult to think positive or to think about something about future. So as Dunella said, in times like this, it's very difficult for children to go back to school, especially girls, because somehow in all areas of the world, in all parts of the world, it is felt that it's better for men to be more educated than women. And to this day, I still don't understand why is that. But unfortunately, that is the fact till now, even in 2023, still this is the fact. And so in difficult areas like this, when cyclone destroys everything or natural disasters bring people to their knees, then schools get shut down, people cannot go cannot get access to education, and famine, poverty, and all these other problems, they increase violence, especially violence against women, because somehow women and little girls are the easier targets. Children as well, definitely young girls, young boys, children, and women are easier targets to be used as punchbacks, to remove that anger or frustration that people have at that time. So famine and poverty forces people to leave their hometowns, go to other places and work, maybe in the form of immigrants or migrants, like in a way to, like, these people are forced to go to Australia or New Zealand or maybe to other parts of the world to work in not in very good jobs, in small jobs like picking apples, picking fruit, working in farms, doing the difficult menial jobs with menial pay. All this difficult life is not going to be to have a good effect on people's mental health, especially on women and little girls, because somehow in all families, women take more of the tension, more of the problems, more of the burden is on their shoulder, the burden of children, the burden of if their husbands are away, the burden of to keep the family in place, to run the family smoothly, to feed their children, to earn money. Despite all their hard works and constant struggles, still violence against women is increasing, and nobody, it seems like we are not accepting and understanding the hard work that women are paying in different families, the role that women play in every family, not only in Pacific Islands, everywhere else. So we will continue listening to the lovely messages that Danila has sent us, and we will listen to her point of view and how we can play an important part in all this. And before we do that, let's go on and listen to a lovely song from Fergie, one of my favorite singers, and the song is Big Girls Don't Cry.
The smell of your skin lingers on me now. You're probably on your flight back to your hometown. I need some shelter of my own. Protection, baby. Be with myself in center, clarity, peace, serenity. Take the baby steps till I'm full grown, full grown.
Oh,
to be with myself and center. Clarity, peace, serenity.
Welcome back. You're listening to Radio UCC 98.3 FM, and you're tuned into My Life in a Suitcase with your host, Manisha. So we were listening to Danella, and let's continue to her messages. So when I asked her, what can we do? What can we do to reduce these effects? And how can we be part of part of this help? So this is what she responded.
So if we think about what should be done or what could be done, look, it's like everything, it's a really complex set of challenges and really complex solutions as well. So I mentioned before that climate change, you know, I think probably what I'm sharing here is the impacts of climate change here in the world. In some parts of the world, the experience of climate change may not be as real and as evident as it is here in the Pacific. We experience it really acutely, and these extreme weather events are increasing dramatically. So, you know, one of the key things here is around climate mitigation, and that is really important for all of us to be aware of, contribute to, and think about. We also talk about preparedness, and that is one of the things that in through our work currently that we think about how we can support communities in and throughout the Pacific to be prepared for the impacts of cyclones, natural disasters, etc. And that includes thinking about economic resilience. It includes thinking about environmental resilience. So, for example, if we are thinking about supporting women in and throughout the Pacific around their income sources to do with selling, producing crops, thinking about diversifying ways where they can grow crops, and thinking about how we can help them to be prepared for cyclones, extreme weather events, and to help to preserve some of those crops in the best ways that we can, different ways of growing, indoor, etc. So, and the other thing is supporting communities to recover as quickly as possible from the impacts of extreme weather events, and particularly for women. We know that, as I mentioned before, when these things come, then often girls out of school may not ever return to school because of the economic impact of that on families. And so, again, it's supporting communities to invest in girls and education, and also invest in ways to helping them to return to school quickly in the events of extreme weather events. And then also, the, you know, that recovery phase post any kind of natural disaster can go for years. And so it's thinking about ways that in that recovery cafes that's locally led, led by communities, but also led in a way that's going to be sustainable for any future disasters that may come. So, yeah, it's really complex, and in terms of violence against women, as I mentioned, the extreme, you know, the real high prevalence in and throughout the Pacific region. What can be done? You know, again, that's a really complex set of issues, and it does differ community to community, village to village, country to country, and so it's kind of tricky to talk about a broad brush approach. But again, thinking around or talking around some of these really complex social issues is really important, and thinking forward to how to best support women, and education is a really key thing. We know that more educated women are, the better outcomes it has for all of, not just them, their families, in terms of economic outcomes, social outcomes, health outcomes, and so education is a real key aspect of all of these challenges and complex issues that we're looking at here. So how can we make the world a better place? Look, I think we all have a responsibility to take interest in and care for the women in particular in our world, and there are lots of women around the world that have experienced extreme hardship in whole kinds of different ways. I've talked particularly about the impacts of climate change, which may not be or feel like something as significant as and as immediate as war, but it is having such an impact here in the Pacific region, and hopefully from my sharing today you can see another side of it, and the impacts on women as well and children in and throughout this region, and the knock-on effect to that. So I think how can we make the world a better place for women is to lean into some of these issues and be aware of what is happening around the world, and also being cognizant of how we can contribute to a more positive, peaceful future. And that can be pressing into some of the impacts of climate change, being aware of how it is affecting the women in regions around the world and in ways that we've probably never considered. And also thinking about in the face of natural disasters, which we're likely to see more of these extreme weather events, and you know, when you're looking at these small island states, low-lying, rising sea levels, you know, they're experiencing it on a day-to-day, living through it on a day-to-day basis, droughts, all those sorts of things affecting crops and livelihood, food security. So in the face of these natural disasters, I think it's being aware of, leaning in, and also recognising that women often feel the effects of this more acutely in so many different ways. Supporting where we can, and also being advocates. And I think that's a big thing, advocating for women in all of these spaces.
Thank you so much, Daniela. This was really, really amazing. Thank you. I'm sure either you're listening now, or you'll be listening to our podcast. So I want to thank you so much. That I know you're very busy, and despite all your busy time, you still found the time to send us these lovely voice messages and your interview through WhatsApp to us, and that was very important to for us all to hear. You're very right about it's very important for all of us to be advocates for women's rights, because it doesn't matter where we are living, which part of the world it is. Everywhere, women are in some form of despair, in some form of sadness, in some form of violence, and people who cannot have a voice of their own, they really need. They really need strong supporters to be their own voice. So it's very important to be advocates. If we cannot do anything else to help anyone in need, what we can do is at least to be advocates through our WhatsApps, our Instagrams, in our daily discussions, through a radio program, through a newspaper, to write an article, to at least write a comment on your WhatsApp or Instagram. Internet is a very important outlet for advocacy, and we can spread positive messages to create more awareness regarding to the issues which are really very important in the world, like starting from war to famine to poverty to increase in violence against women to all kinds of problems that we as a human nation are facing today. I do understand that world is divided into different continents, but if we look towards it in a positive way, we are all one human nation. We all have the same color of blood running through our veins, and it's very, very important to support each other. If there is no war in one part of the world, you won't get refugees in another part of the world. If there is no famine in one part of the world, you won't get immigrants and asylum seekers in another part of the world. The whole world works like a human body. If one part of the body is in ache, the other parts definitely feel it. The other parts of the body also feel the ache, feels the effect, and it is not. It's not a very good experience. So for us all to be happy, it is very important to accept all, respect all. It's very important to respect each other's boundaries. It's very important to not to belittle or look down at anyone. It's very important to understand each other's choices. As far as we are not hurting another human being or another living being, that choice that we have made is a good choice. The only thing that we need to remember is none of the choices that we make should affect in any adverse way any other human being or any other living being. One of the reasons that natural disasters are becoming more and more, especially cyclones and floods and all, is because we as humans are not very kind to our nature, and pollution increases every day. War is one of the important reasons of pollution. Consumerism is the another important part of increase in pollution. We use materials and things and cars and weapons every day, and all those things they add up. They pollute our air, they pollute our water, they pollute our environment, and in turn the nature has to respond to us in such harsh ways. So talking back about, coming back to the friendship is a very important, it's a very important thing in our life. It's a very important aspect of human life. One friend can either build our life or can destroy our life. We should be very important in choosing our friends and making the right decision. We should choose people who can support us, who can be wind beneath our wings, not somebody who pushes us down or tries to all the time compete with us or just always think that maybe we are hurting them in some other way. We should try to be around people who are positive. And when we see anyone who is in need, we should be someone to lend a helping hand. And most of all, we should cherish the good friends that we have. We should accept the good qualities that they have, and we should come in terms with the negative qualities that they have, because I'm sure as humans, all of us, we do have some negative, every one of us have a negative quality and have a positive quality. So we should focus more on the positive and try to ignore the negative. And that is how we can all be accepting as a human nation. And that is how we can all be accepting and forgiving. And that is how we can include everyone in a happy living situation. And maybe that's how, if you all give hand to hand, and finally we will be able to help those who need help, and maybe somehow we can bring down the misery that the world is facing nowadays, famine and poverty and war and earthquakes and cyclones and racism and all kinds of other diseases that is affecting our world. So with this note, we'll end our show for today, and maybe my daughter would like to say goodbye to us all. Maybe Marjan, you can say bye to everyone.
Bye. Maybe see you next time.
Thank you so much for coming with me, Marjan, today. I think this is a very interesting experience for Marjan today, and I'm very happy to have her with me in the studio today. You know, just looking back and at my life with Marjan in this 12 little years that I've spent with her, yeah, because she's only 12, I think me and Marjan have accompanied each other in many, many places. Even in Afghanistan once, I had a visit with the Minister of Education, and Marjan was with me in all the pictures because I didn't have anybody at home to take care of her. So, well, that is another lovely thing for a womanhood, you know. So, so guys, we'll see you hopefully in the coming weeks at the same time with many amazing guests, and tune in to Radio UCC 98.3 FM every Monday, 4 o'clock, to listen to My Life in a Suitcase. And there are many amazing guests with lots of lovely stories to tell. And we'll see you next week or the week after that. Until then, have a good evening and enjoy the amazing weather. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away.